Welcome to Overtime Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in esports.
Esports.
Welcome to Overtime Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest news in CSGO, quicker than Azur leaves Sprout after he joined just 45 days ago.
Yep.
Truly a quicker than moment. My name is Logan. This is AZS. Be sure to like the episode. Really helps us. Let's get into it. So let's start with that. A whole 45 days after the Australian Azur joined Sprout, he has left Sprout.
So I don't know if you remember when we talked about this the first time, and I was like, I don't really get it. I think it's... We were both on board with this. You know, we didn't really get it, but we were willing to give Sprout the benefit of the doubt because they'd made some good moves in the past. They found Lanx when nobody had heard of him. They found Stare and nobody seemed to care about him in Denmark. And I was like, you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They've obviously seen something I haven't. They had not seen something I hadn't.
No.
That was... Like, put it this way. If EG had assigned Azur, this is what I would have assumed would have happened.
Yeah.
But because it was Sprout, I was like, oh, you know what? I'll give him a little bit of leeway. I should have just trusted my gut. Azur is a busted flush. Like, he was... Okay, he was fine 2 years ago. I never thought he was a great player or in-game leader, to be honest, but fine. I'm probably biased against him because I never really wanted the Australians to win. So I'm probably biased against him. But I never thought he was that good. I was like, all right, fine. Again, maybe I've missed something. But it turns out I hadn't. I'd seen everything I needed to see.
All right, we've got some... I want to talk about IAM Rio next, and then we'll go to the other roster moves that have happened. Because there's some roster and just full-on team moves that I want to talk about. Apparently, my light never turned off. Okay. supposed to turn on. All right, so yeah. Let's talk about IAM Rio. It's currently happening in Rio.
Crazy how that works.
Insane. Big things we want to point out. Nothing, actually. So
Fury, I look good. That's it. Yeah.
So here's the thing. This event is currently going, generally, I won't say like on a match-specific basis, of if you were to say, take the best teams in the world and figure out who the best teams here are and who the less spent, not as good teams are, and said, let's figure out how this playoffs works, you'd be probably about correct. Other than Mouse Sports.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Big are currently in the upper bracket file, having beaten Heroic. We've got Furia beat FaZe. Maybe that's real. I don't know. Cloud9 didn't qualify for the major, and they're playing Furia in an upper final, while FaZe Vitality are playing in a lower semi-final. I'm not sure this is exactly how most people would come up with it, I'll be honest.
It's more of a, if you went and looked at HLTV rankings like a week ago and said, Where's the
maybe? I'd still think FaZe and Vitality would be above Fury in most people's predictions.
Yeah,
probably, maybe above Cloud9 as well, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess OG.
This is it's been very bizarre. I think this is a case of like it's come so soon after the RMRs, and teams who are qualified. Like, of course, it's a big event, but you're probably not going to go all out in a sense, and. There's a bit of a hangover. Like, FaZe, imagine the pressure they went through in that low, like, last chance qualifier. Like, they're probably still on a bit of a high from that, and they're just like, we'll just use this as a chance to practice. Like, I'm sure they're trying. That's not what I'm suggesting, but, like, it's not as high pressure for them, and we know that FaZe only care about events that are high pressure, so.
Yeah, not only that, but we're a good chunk of the way through April, right? We've got, what, a week and a half left in April. The major itself starts in just shy of 3 weeks. It's 2 weeks and a weekend.
Yeah.
And so, and there's no events between now and then. This is the this is our big last event. I guess ESL Challenger Melbourne, but I don't think any of the teams, okay, that's not true. Four of the teams that are there will be at the major, but they'll be taking it as this is our kind of, Let's get ready to go for the major.
Lexi,
Ben's Eagles, Greyhound, Mongols. But like the big teams, like your FaZes, your your Phases, your Furias, your OGs, Nip. They're all, this is their last event before they hit biggest event of the year. The last event in Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Yep. The last, yeah.
Weird to say.
It might not be, and we don't actually, know. Like, Cologne could be on Global Offensive.
Blast DC will probably be on Global Offensive as well.
Yeah, it will. I'd imagine.
I would assume so. Though it is in June, and summer is June, but...
Yeah, we still don't have a definitive date, which is strange. Surely Valve pays some attention to the pro circuit and will do it during the player break. That would make the most sense.
I think the assumption that all of us are running off of, not to jump on a tangent here, but absolutely to jump on a tangent, is that they're using the player break because it would be dumb of them not to.
I that's what I would assume, but you just never know with Valve.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple events after the major, right? We have Texas, like, a week after Dallas.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week after that is Blast Premier Spring. And then we hit our player break, which is the month long, right? Until we get fall groups, which happens in July for some reason. I'm not sure Blast understand the concept of what fall is, but sure. And then we get into Cologne and et cetera. So I'd assume...
Well, obviously, I don't understand what fall is. Is fall just the same as autumn?
Yeah, it's the same
thing. Okay. We just don't call it fall at all, and I always like it. Always used to throw me as a kid when I would see it. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's autumn. It's just it's thought of that stupid American kids don't know how to pronounce the word autumn, so we just say fall.
Why don't you just teach them?
That's a question.
You teach them how to pronounce everything else wrong. You might as well teach them how to pronounce this wrong.
I no comment on the American school systems.
It's more like how Americans pronounce everything. If the next time I hear an American say caramel, I'm going to hurt somebody.
Wait, like the ship?
No, like, you know what, like a Mars bar?
Yeah.
Like caramel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, caramel, as Americans say.
I actually say caramel.
Oh, good. You're one of the good ones. You're allowed to stay.
Caraval, which is the ship.
Oh, okay. I've always said caravel, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either.
Okay. I only know it from Civ.
Exactly. Let's get back to Rio for a second. So teams that are out already are most of the Brazilian South American teams. So Imperial, 9Z, and MIBR all out. The surprise down here is also Mouse Sports is out.
It's not that surprising.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm used to Mouse disappointing at this point. They qualified for the major, which, again, like, I think there really is a case of, like, they qualified for the major. They're on fucking cloud nine. They don't care. Like we went out early in Rio, but we qualified for the major. You gave them that choice. I'm sure they'd rather be Mouse than cloud nine right now.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there's a chunk of these teams that are just taking this as like a, we have to go to this event. We're resting up. We have this week, and we have a little bit of next week, and then we go 2 week boot camp straight into the major. Right.
Also, I will say Mouse were in a very difficult side of the bracket because the three teams on their side of the bracket were Heroic, Nine, and Big.
Yeah, so that whole side of the
bigger
bracket.
Bigger in just like God mode at this event randomly, as they do every so often. So, Nine are really, really good. And Heroic, obviously the best team in the world. So
yeah. So that there were two groups in this, right? Each group had their own bracket. So that whole group was Heroic, Nine, Big, Mouse on one side of the bracket, and then NIP, Imperial, Mongols, and Na'Vi on the other side of the bracket. So basically impossible group to get out of if you're not other than Na'Vi and
God mode Big randomly and Heroic.
Yeah, Na'Vi, God mode Big, Heroic. That's who you just assume gets out. So if you're Mouse, you're kind of not playing to get out to a degree.
I'd like to say that this group, or at least parts of this group, are a good argument against seeding, because there's no way on earth Nine are the worst team in this group. I don't care what anyone tells me.
Imperial.
Well, you're fine, but like Nine... with, like, the lowest seed, I presume, because I'm playing against Heroic?
Yeah.
And there is no way on earth they're the worst team in this group. They're arguably, like, the third or fourth best team in this group. But because rankings take so long to catch up, you get dodgy fucking seeding like this. Like, Nine went 3-0 at the RMR. They're the same as Heroic. And they're playing against each other. It makes no sense.
All right. Let's quickly move on to the other group. So just to recap, Big and Na'Vi are playing the upper final today as we're recording, and the lower final will be NIP Heroic again, today as we're recording. They happen at the same time, which is a little weird, but sure, whatever. So we'll get some combination of big Navi and then Nip and Heroic. It's odd that Heroic are down here, but again, as you said, it's
they lost to God Mode Big. It happens.
God Mode Big does exist. And this comes like after we started, at least I in my head have started questioning Big in general.
Yeah, but they did it without hype. Like, hyped went horribly negative and they still just won. Which I think says a lot. Like, they still don't have a great AWPA, but they do have rifle firepower. Like, say what you want about Crimbo or... I actually have come around to the idea of Keto being good. Now I've watched him. Like, I'm like, oh, no, he actually is decent. He's just... There's always players on Big who, like, have really difficult roles. I mean, like, Tizian, there were times where he looks genuinely good, and I think he did just have horrific roles, which did not help. And I think Keto is, like, he has some really difficult positions to play, but if you actually watch the way he plays them, he's pretty good. And I've started to think, actually, you know what? I think Keto is actually a good player.
I think they should just remove Hyped and add Tizian back and just go all rifle all the time. That seems to be a better Big than any Big.
What about Tabson main AWP?
I'd be okay with that too.
Because he's quite passive anyway. And he's often the guy throwing flashes and throwing smokes. You could just use him as like a support AWPer. I think he'd probably be fine at it. Maybe it's a waste, but he hasn't been particularly good recently anyway. He's got the brain for it.
But here's the thing, right? You go back and you start thinking like, oh, who has been on this Big team as AWPers recently? It's like Searson, who was...
Criminally underrated.
I absolutely agree. But couldn't rifle to save his life, so therefore liability.
Did you see, actually, that Reddit comment? One of the Big team members, I think it was Drowlon, he tweeted it out. There was a Reddit comment. One of the most insane comments I've ever read. It was basically saying they should bring back Searson as a main rifler and keep Hyped on the team.
Fuck no, get out.
It was legitimately insane. I'm going to find it so I can find the exact wording of the comment because makes no sense whatsoever.
But like, here's the thing. Like, let's go back in the history here for a second. I'm Big. Hyped is their current AWPer, who's questionable, a little bit dodgy.
He's too aggressive, is the problem.
Searson, who was great at AWPing, good to great at AWPing, somewhere in that ballpark, but was a liability on a round in which he did not have an AWP. His second best weapon was like the dualies or some
shit. He's a beast with the scout.
Yeah, but like anytime he didn't have a scoped weapon, he was fucked, right? Like, so
don't care.
Liability
I think the game was better when AWPers couldn't rifle. I think that's just more fun. Do you remember JDM? That was great fun.
Yes. Do you know why JDM's not playing currently?
Yeah, of course. But unfortunately, that's the natural like progression of any sport is people become more well-rounded. But it's more fun when AWPers can't rifle.
Okay, but then let's jump back. Before that, who was the AWPer before Searson?
That's a great question.
He was the most mediocre AWPer of them all, Smuya. So like never had a good AWPer. So
they either Searson was a good AWPer. He's just...
Yeah, but he couldn't rifle at all.
It doesn't matter.
My point is...
He's good enough for the scout that I actually don't think it matters.
My point is that Big has never relied on a star AWPer.
I think they did rely on Searson, though. But I think they did.
I don't think so, man.
I think they did. He was their best player for ages, man. Like,
he was
There were like seven AWPers in the world with a higher rating than him. And four of those are like... in the top 10 players in the world, maybe of all time.
To me, Searson felt so one-dimensional.
Yeah, but that one dimension is so good.
Yeah, but that's like saying that like JDM had such a good lean in his chair.
No. It's like if JDM was genuinely really good, but still couldn't rifle. That's what Searson was. Like, he was really good with the AWP. Like, think about how good you have to be at AWPing to get away with being bad as rifling as he is. Think about how good you have to be. It's the whole, like, how good is Crystal as an in-game leader if he has to carry a team with Crystal on it? It's the same thing. Like, how good at AWPing do you have to be to get away with the fact that you can't rifle? And the answer is Searson. Seriously, I think there are five or six better AWPers in the world than him when he's, like, consistently. He actually puts up really good numbers. He's a good player, and somehow they've gotten rid of him, got a worse AWPer. Not gotten rid of him, he left, whatever. They've got a worse AWPer now, and they've still just hit this random god mode period. I don't get it, man. They're an odd team, Big. They don't make any sense.
When has Big ever made any sense? All right, let's move to the other group quickly. Other group is a little bit stacked. So it's FaZe against 9Z in the opener, Fury against Fnatic in the opener, Vitality against OG, MIBR against Cloud9, and yeah. So
there's so much going on in this group. Like I don't even know where to start. Like,
so let's start with the fact that all of the Brazilian South American teams other than Imperial are here.
Yeah.
And all of them other than Furia have been eliminated.
Yeah. Immediately. So,
like immediately. And then let's go to the lower bracket bit here, which is that FaZe lost to Furia in the upper semis 2-0.
Yeah,
I don't expect FaZe to be taking this event extremely seriously. I do expect Fury to be taking this event extremely seriously.
I guess that's true. Fury have been really inconsistent. And I mean, like, we've said on this podcast for ages, like, for probably the last 6 months, Kaeya Serato might be the best. He's certainly the best rifler in the world. He might be the best player in the world. He's ridiculous. He took FaZe apart on his own, man. Like, he's ridiculously good.
K-Serrat has been insane.
He's so good, I might have to start actually figuring out how to pronounce his name.
Isn't it K-Serrat?
I'm not sure.
Wait, hold on. HLTV has a how to pronounce. They say K-Serrat. Do I trust out. HLTV?
Because I think his name is like, is it not like Kaike? Kaike Serrat? So I would presume it's like Kaes Serato, because I'm sure I've heard Brazilians pronounce it differently. I might have to figure out how to say it in Brazilian, because he's actually that good. It's exactly. like Zywoo was really good, so they started calling him Zywoo. It's like, you've earned it now.
Zywoo? Speaking of Zywoo, they're in the lowers because they lost to OG in their opening match.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Because that tracks.
Were they like massively up in that game? Am I tripping?
Let me
check.
It was
They were like really far ahead and choked. That might be a different game. Okay, they were 14-10 up and lost in overtime. So it's not as bad as I thought.
Lost bigger leads on Overpass before.
It was 9 who choked a massive lead against NIP, I think. They were like up 15-8
yes,
and lost.
Yeah. It was the same time that Taz tweeted something along the lines of like, and NIP will never come back from this, and you fucking cast
and
their grace
the game,
to them.
Yeah.
FaZe or Vitality, one of them will be eliminated by the time we finish recording. Right now, it sure looks like FaZe will be eliminated.
Well, you say that. It was 12-3 at the half, or 11-4. Is it 12-3 or 11-4 at the half? And it's now 13-9. It's getting a bit sketchy with Vitality. I had it on my second monitor. I was like, this will be over soon. I just looked over. I'm like, actually, this is getting close. Like, Twist was on like 2 kills after like 20 rounds, and he's
never a good thing.
No.
After we just hyped him up as like an impossible top 5 player of all time, goes and gets.
Yeah,
two kills,
everyone's had bad games.
All right, so we will keep you all up to date on IEM Rio and how this ends up finishing up next week.
Also, I just want to talk about Fnatic, because they went 3-0 in the RMR, and they got smacked by OG. 16-6, 16-5 in the lower bracket. That's worrying.
Yeah, and then
they do have this tendency to just play terribly at random.
I also think Cloud9's having a little bit of a run here, but also they're doing it against kind of shit teams, so they did it again. They beat MIBR in a best of one, and then...
And OG in a best of three.
Depending on what you think of OG right now, they beat OG 2-0 in a best of three. They'll play Fury tonight as a recording.
There's two possible stances on OG. You either don't believe in them, or you're agnostic.
I don't believe in them.
I'm agnostic. I'm not keen on Nico as the IGL.
I was gonna say, I believe in Flames and Dagster. After that point,
yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. Like, I think Neofrag is probably decent, but I change my mind on him all the time. I used to think Fiku was good, and now I'm not sure. But I know Dexter can be really good. And Dexter, I know Flame could be really good.
Yeah, that's all I need to know.
Nico has been on some like relatively successful teams.
All right. I want to jump back to players and teams that we got to talk about now. So we already talked about Azure at the top of the show. Let's talk about our next team, which will be Astralis. It seems that Zipnix, Zipnix four-time major winning fame.
He's actually pronounced Zipex, but because he's bad now, we don't pronounce it properly. So he's bringing that back.
He's been moved down to the Astralis talent roster. With players like Christo, a former
good
North
lad.
Player, on it. And instead, Altex, maybe?
Yeah, Altex, I believe.
Altex will be joining up onto the main roster, which is a thing.
I've not watched Altex play, but I've heard he's very good.
Okay.
I've heard from Harry, Nero. He's very keen on this move, was very keen on this move. It's something like he puts up really high ratings both playing like similar positions to Zipnix. Like he's just too good for that level in the roles that he plays, and he puts up good ratings in difficult positions, which is kind of exactly what you want from a player like Zipnix. So,
I mean,
he's got to be better than Zipnix at this point. Like he's just bad now, I guess.
Yeah,
it's sad, but whatever. He is just dog shit now.
So
he'll come back, but he's not good at the moment.
I remind everyone that tournaments now that Astralis play for a bit won't actually matter at all, because they're out of the major. So they'll play in Dallas. They play in a tournament called Breezy Party, which sounds like a tournament that we're gonna have to spend some time and follow. I mean, it has Cloud9 and OG and 9 and Astralis, so we'll probably have to talk about that at one point. And then they'll play in the Blast Premier Spring Final, which will be after... Is that DC?
It is DC.
Yeah. I'm just totally capping.
It's not called like a Blast DC, but it is the DC Blast one. DC.
And then we'll have our player break. So expect Astralis to like really to take this time pre-player break and figure their shit out, because they don't have to go play in the major, and expect for them to ready themselves up for the next bit of the year.
Yeah, they're testing LTEX now in these events that quote unquote don't matter, and then if he's good, if he's even like remotely like decent, they'll probably just keep him for the next cycle.
Yeah.
Because, or they'll try and find somebody else.
Zip isn't playing particularly well. Although,
no, he's not.
In his first match with Astralis Talent, got an ace in like the first round or something like that, which is just humorous.
It would be really funny if he just obliterates everyone on Astralis Talent. And then Astralis are like, they're kind of stuck then, aren't they? Like, what do you do?
Like you sell him off.
Do we bring him back? Like, he's clearly good. Maybe somebody else is the problem. Maybe we shouldn't have given all of his clutches to Blame F. Maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Maybe we should. Okay. Let's talk about the bit that happened at the RMR regarding Virtus Pro, the team that did not go back the major. So during the major, okay, Norbert was, Chiron was playing for Virtus Pro in the RMR. Yeah.
His first event on the actual org.
Yeah, first event for Virtus Pro itself, okay? Halfway through the event, they went, okay, actually, this is our elimination game. We're going to put Norbert in instead of Chiron. And they said, we're taking Chiron out because of an issue with his passport.
No. They said it was because he couldn't deal with pressure. That's what we get. They said he couldn't deal with pressure. A journalist came out and said it's because of his passport. Chiron came out and said, no, that's not true. Basically reiterating what VP said. But then last week, VP just ended his contract, which is not what you would do if you thought somebody was just slightly bad at dealing with pressure. It's more what you would do if that person just didn't want to be there or disagreed completely with your way of doing things, which I think is probably more like it.
Yeah, so he was only on the team for 6 months. 3 months. He didn't play in their elimination series against Mousesports. They switched him out for Norbert, who had last played 4 months ago for the team. And now he's a free agent. So here's the thing, right? Virtus Pro is kind of in the same place as Astralis. They just started a little earlier.
Yeah, I think Chiron is good. I can imagine the way he plays the game is somewhat antithetical to James' ideas of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll probably end up... To be honest, I thought he'd go back to Spirit. We'll get to Spirit in a minute because there's a rumor of them making massive changes. But yeah, I thought he'd go back to Spirit, but I didn't know who for. But it seems Spirit have completely different ideas to that. So I don't know where Chiron ends up. He like made a point of saying he speaks English and German and Russian.
You're big? Big?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would have said I don't speak German, just so Big didn't try and sign me.
Hey, but... he could go to Sprout. He can go to GL Sprout. We'll see how long his job
lasts. I don't think you want Chiron as an in-game leader, I'll be honest.
No, I don't think anyone should go at GL Sprout. It's a cursed job.
Yeah, probably. he could join... Like, there's a lot of different teams he could join. Like, he could join Mousesports, for example. I don't know who he'd replace, but...
I actually think Mousesports is in an okay place right now.
He could join OG.
He absolutely could join OG, but it doesn't help OG's problem.
He could join Vitality. Vitality would be a fun one. Replace Apex, let Majeski game lead, have Chiron as your, like, explosive player.
I love it. But I don't know why you wouldn't just get a French person then, so that way you keep some of the French energy.
I can tell you why you don't want a French person. Because then you've got an extra French person. Nobody wants that.
Well, no, you're at an equal level of French.
Sorry, I just like to say, Vitality just won against FaZe. Sphinx over two maps just went, let me do some quick math, 73 and 34?
Yeah, he's very good. We've been saying this for a bit. All right, after I've sipped my
73
coffee.
73 kills!
All right, so we've got a bit on Spirit here, as Elliot just referred to.
Yeah.
So this is from, I think, the like weirdest side source screenshotted onto some guy on Twitter.
Yeah, so it's definitely 100% legit.
But like realistically it could be.
Yeah, it so probably is. I don't know any Russian journalists other than... Overdrive, yeah.
And Overdrive hasn't said anything saying that this is not true yet, so
yeah,
obviously it's true. So here's the thought. Is Chopper and Siren will remain in the Spirit lineup. A new one will be assembled around them, which, let's start with that. Good move.
Strange decision, I think.
Nah, I like Chopper and Siren.
I like Chopper. I like Siren. But...
I also like Patsy, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's really hard to say you want to replace any of them.
Yeah.
Like, even though they've been bad, like, who do you replace? Because Majix is so reliably good. He's good at difficult spots. He does a lot of difficult things really well. He does a lot of good things really well. Yeah. Easy things really well. He's just an all-round versatile good player. Wonderful at times is phenomenal. He has periods where he's just a little out of the game, but like he's like 18. And he's pretty fucking good. And then Patsy, who you know can dominate. Like, we've seen Patsy be really, really, really good like in Antwerp, where he was just running through teams on his own. But then I think Patsy's probably the obvious one because it's clear he hasn't hit those heights since, and I think he's probably just been like figured out. But I can't believe you wouldn't keep Majix, personally.
We're wonderful. He brought in like 4 or 5 months ago.
Like, I don't know. But at the same time, Spirit lost Mia and got better. They lost Dexter and maintained performance. Like, who am I to say, oh, no, this won't work? I don't know much about the players coming in, but apparently they're very good. But I don't know much about them.
So some of the players that are being brought in right now. So Zontix is supposed to be being brought in for Majix, Zontix is on Spirit Academy.
I think all three players are on their academy, right?
Well, let's find out. Donk is also on their academy, right? And Art Frost is also on their academy. So yeah, they're bringing up three academy players. Spirit Academy has historically been like actually pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's where Patsy and Siren came from their academy. As well.
Chiron came from their academy at least for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
Nickelback was on their academy team for a minute.
I think he was old when he joined. I think he was like the veteran guy. But yeah, the academy project seems really good. So
he was like 20 when he joined.
You might as well use it, I suppose.
Yeah. So that's, we'll see if these moves pan out. On paper, they make sense.
It's risky. I'll tell you that.
In their like own world, they make sense of like, if you are going to remove these three players, bringing three players from your academy team up, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If their academy team is consistently pumped out good players, if these are the next ones and you can like get some money for Wonderful Magics and Patsy, you could probably make a profit, promote from within, and if you think it's going to help or even stay still, it's cynical, but it's probably a good move.
Yeah. So okay, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We've got two more bits of news. One is team related, one is esports related. So let's do they're both esports related. Fuck it, whatever. Let's do Grand Slams first. So we talked about recently how FaZe won the Grand Slam. Intel came out and basically was like, hey, season 5. Okay, so first of all, they issued an amendment. We both absolutely totally forgot that Navi won a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Just totally out of our head.
I knew there was somebody else. I just couldn't think who it was. So just, I was like, I'm sure there's somebody else, but I can't think who. So
if you really want to go and look at all of the mediocre Grand Slams that are not Team Liquid's, which is obviously the best, you can go and read Harry Euro's article on HLTV about comparing all the Grand Slams together.
Yeah.
Basically, in which said that Liquid's was the best, and he will not be taking any questions, even though he said Astralis's was the best. He's an Astralis fanboy, so
I think basically the idea is Liquid's run was as good as anyone's, but Astralis were a better team.
Who cares?
Okay,
because he's Harry. Okay, whatever. Either way, Intel announced that the Grand Slam is coming back, as we expected. I don't think that the changes were ridiculous. There was changes, though. I'm trying to remember what it was. There were new rules, though. So Rio is the first step for the Grand Slam, as you may have guessed.
FaZe will not be starting.
Yeah, FaZe will not be starting. So we reset everything. Teams are allowed to swap players, but it has to be the core doing the same thing. If a team... there's a giant killer bonus, same as the last one. But the big thing is that any wins now will count towards CS2's Grand Slam. So yep. We are going to start it now, and we don't reset when we swap over to Counter-Strike 2. So you have to win 3 ESL Pro Tour Master Tournaments and 1 Championship Tournament, which is Kato, Cologne, or an ESL-operated Counter-Strike Major. The span of 10 consecutive events, in which I would be willing to guess only ESL consecutive events. So blast events do not count within these. Yep. So that's where we're at. So you have to win a CS operator major or Kato or Cologne. So the first big place that you need to start looking is going to be Dallas and Cologne, which are the next two ESL tournaments that will be coming up after IAM Rio, which obviously does count, but the Cologne one is important because it gets you a championship tournament out of the way early, and then you don't have to go and win a major, which is cool on its own. All right, I got one more bit of news. It actually dropped like 2-3 weeks ago, but we hadn't talked about it, so we're going to talk about it now. So if you follow esports to some degree, you may have heard of this concept called esports winter, which is esports dying because of lack of funds. And it hadn't really shown itself. Well, it showed itself a little bit with Heroic not having money. Tricked going out of business this last week. FaZe just being FaZe. I don't have a better answer for that. But the big one that affects Counter-Strike is actually 2 North American teams, one of which doesn't have a Counter-Strike team. So that would be TSM, who was affected by the loss of their title sponsor, FTX. Although they came out last year and said, hey, we want to get back into Counter-Strike. We want to get a Counter-Strike team. Let's do it. They still haven't done that. But they've come out and said it's still being worked on. Even after the loss of FTX, even after Rumors that they are selling their LCS slot.
Yeah. Of course, they're going to say they're still doing it. Whether or not they, like, actions do speak louder than words, and they still
1,000%. But they've come out pretty publicly and said that they're still planning on doing it. We'll see whether it happens. The guess is that they will do it after the major. We'll see what it pans out. But that's not the team I want to talk about. I want to talk about the team that is still kind of sort of in Counter-Strike, which is Counter Logic Gaming.
Yes.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So Counter Logic Gaming, formerly owned by James Dolan, owner of the New York Knicks, historically one of the worst owners in sports ever. CLG was owned by the Madison Square Garden Company. They sold the League of Legends vertical. So that is just like League of Legends team, coaches, staffing around the team, apparently the chef as well. That got sold to NRG. We don't exactly know who owns the CLG brand at this point, but the important bit for Counter-Strike fans is that the CLG Red team is no longer CLG Red. They're currently playing in ESL Impact, which is good. I believe they are playing under the name of Moist Esports.
There's Moist Criticals.
Because Critical and Ludwig picked them up for this event to give them a salary for this event. I believe they were playing from CLG's facilities in LA.
Interesting.
For the American portion of this event at the time, and now they're playing at Liquid or something. Basically, they're kind of all over the place now, but I believe
at
that
least they're getting like a salary and they're still able to play. That's definitely good for them. I mean, they're almost certainly the best women's team in North America.
Correct.
Certainly at the moment, better than EG. Saints were, I'm pretty sure, not going to continue as a team because they've all got jobs and it's all very difficult. Branding wise, it seems like an easy pickup for somebody, but I don't know how the finances work.
So what we do know for a fact is that they have, I'm doing Googling at the same time.
Right.
Is that the folks over on Moist Esports will not be picking them up full time. They've said that that's almost certainly not going to be a thing.
Correct.
But they will be paying for them for this event, which is great. Teams that have not gotten a women's team yet that would be possible, you'd think Team Liquid would actually be in a really good position to do this.
Yep.
They are big NA org and do not have any Impact team. That may be your only big NA.
There's Cloud9.
Yeah, there is Cloud9. Totally forgot that Cloud9 existed.
They have a Game Changers roster, right?
Valorant. No, they don't.
Oh, do they not? They used to.
No, they had the best Game Changers roster in Valorant, and then it disintegrated. They sold it off, I believe. The important bits of that are now in version 1, which there is a possibility that some Valorant team comes in and decides to forge into Counter-Strike with Impact.
Yep. Players could move to Valorant.
I mean,
it's an option. I doubt it, but it is an option.
I doubt
it.
We've
seen it with the Gozen players and now Oya players.
Yeah, but the Gozen players came back.
Yeah, yeah. My point is, like, you can flip between the two, especially if you're struggling for a team, somebody says, look, we'll pick you up to play Valorant. You might have to take the chance.
So they're now under the, like, moniker of Rule with Red, so they're keeping the Red thing for right now.
Yeah.
But they're attending Dallas, so I have no other bits on this. The church announcement came this week. Expect to hear other announcements of orgs not having enough money or having to drop teams, etc. Welcome to the esports business right now. I don't have much more. You probably won't expect to see big teams.
If you're a big team, you probably just ride it out.
Unless you're FaZe.
Even they'll probably just ride it out.
Yeah. FaZe have their own.
FaZe Clan have seemingly been in debt for about 20 years. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. The thought process has always been if you are an esports team and only have esports, then you probably won't be doing well right now. If you're an esports team with other verticals on how you do your business, then you're fine. So if you have content creators on it, if you have production studios, if you have separate apps, those will probably help you through.
Yeah.
But we'll see how they go.
Well, Heroic struggling. They just do Counter-Strike. They don't do anything else.
I mean, they are a Counter-Strike org, and that's it. And they are having issues. But that's going to be it for us this week. Join us again next week when we talk about IEM Rio. We talk about... But basically, IEM Rio. That's where we're sitting. It's IEM Rio, 2 weeks on the major.
Yeah.
So
major's coming up, man.
Major's
soon. I can't wait.
Under 3 weeks. So until then, follow us on Twitter at Logan Rahab, at AZSK, and at ReadTLDR. You'll hear from us again next week.
Peace.
Bye.